Well, happy Christmas, everyone. My name's Tim. Let me say happy Christmas to you as well. In a moment, I'm going to read our Bible passage. And as you expect, in our Bible passage, we're going to hear about the birth of a baby boy. But I thought first a comment was needed, because when I get you to maybe pick up the Bibles in front of you and turn to the passage, you're going to think, Tim's got the wrong baby. And that's a pretty bad thing to do at the best of times, isn't it? Get the wrong baby. But the story we're about to drop in on this Christmas morning is about the birth of a little boy called John. And I want to reassure you that I've not made a mistake. So why don't you do that? Here we go. Luke chapter 1, from verse 57. If you want to, there's red Bibles in the chairs in front of you, hopefully. And if we turn there, page 1026. And you'll see there that heading, the birth of John the Baptist. This story, it comes in Luke's gospel right after that really famous Christmas passage about how angel Gabriel comes to Mary, the Virgin Mary, and says to her, you're going to give birth to God's son. And it comes just before that tale of the census and the journey to Bethlehem for Mary and Joseph, and the angels appearing to the shepherds out on the hills outside Bethlehem. All those things that were so wonderfully acted out on a nativity service on Sunday. You see, this story we're about to read comes slap bang in the middle of Luke's Christmas story. And yet we often skip over it, we ignore it, you think, what's that doing there? It's the wrong baby. We're not interested in that baby. Tell us about Jesus. But Luke has included it deliberately in the Christmas story because this other baby, John the Baptist, was born with one job in life. His job in life is to big up Jesus. He's the last of the prophets. If we'd got round to lighting the candle, finding a flame that worked, we would have, there would have been a candle for the prophets. There would have also been a candle for John the Baptist, because he is the last of the prophets. His job is to help people understand who Jesus is, why Jesus came, and his job is to implore people to go running to Jesus. And so he's going to be a real great help for us over these next few minutes this morning, because as we hear about John, we are going to be immediately pointed on beyond John to Jesus. And so you ready for the reading about the wrong baby? I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to, let's just talk through. So the story starts in verse 57. And we get Elizabeth, and she's about to have a baby. And this is a miracle baby as well, because Elizabeth is really old. And so everyone is delighted Elizabeth is having a baby. The baby's born, and they say, what are we going to call the baby? And they think, well, of course, we're going to call the baby after his dad, Zachariah. But Elizabeth says, no. His name has got to be John. And everyone goes, why are you going to call him John? Like, no one in your family is called John. Why are you calling them John? And then Zachariah, the father, and now he can't speak at the moment because an angel appeared to him and an angel told him he was going to have a baby, and he didn't believe God. He didn't trust God. And so he's not been able to speak since that moment. But he desperately says, give me a bit of paper. I need to write something down. And he writes on the paper, his name must be John. And at that point, Zachariah can speak again. And he starts praising God for all that God is doing, and all the people join in praising God. And you see there in verse 66, everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was on him. At this point, of course, John is still a newborn baby. Let me give you a mind-blowing fact for Christmas morning. Newborn babies can't speak. So John's job in life is to speak about and point to Jesus. But he's still a baby. He can't speak. So at this point, his dad, Zachariah, filled with the Spirit, steps into his shoes. His dad does what John the Baptist is going to grow up to do. His dad starts speaking about the other baby, Jesus. And I'm going to read for us what Zachariah says, because he gives us some powerful and beautiful images of why Christmas is so worth celebrating. Listen out as I read for how Jesus' imminent arrival is described here. So I'm going to pick up from verse 67 of chapter 1. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors, to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. He's saying this Jesus who's coming is going to do all of this. And then he turns to his baby and he says to his little baby John, he says, and you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord. You'll go before Jesus to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Well, there's some beautiful images there, particularly those last few verses, and that's where we're just going to focus for a few moments. If you could choose one thing that described for you the kind of the feels of Christmas, the vibe of Christmas, I wonder what you'd go for. You know, the sound of jingle bells, the smell of an open fire, the taste of pigs in blankets dipped into the cranberry sauce, the sight of twinkling fairy lights. There's so many things, aren't there, that get us feeling Christmassy. Well, Zechariah points us to something that so beautifully helps get our heads around about what Christmas is really all about. This is Zechariah's image, sunrise. See that verse 78? By which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness. Sunrise. That is Zechariah's image for Christmas. That moment when light breaks into darkness. That, says Zechariah, is what Christmas is all about. I think we've got a picture. Have we got a picture we can pop up? Let me tell you about one group of people who really love sunrise. The townspeople of Longyearbyen in Norway. Okay, Longyearbyen is the most northerly settlement in the world. It's right up there in the Arctic Circle. It is a place where they experience something called Polar Night. So from the 27th of October every year, they live through day after day after day where the sun never emerges above the horizon. It's not always pitch black, but it's dark. And it's dingy, and I imagine feeling cozy soon leads to feeling crazy. But now, picture the scene. It's the 11th of February in Longyearbyen. And people are emerging out of their houses. They're hunched over, they're cold, they're weary. It's been a long, dark winter. But they're gathering together, they're looking out over the icy expanse, and then it appears. This beautiful orange ball of light. A sight that's been missing for 111 long days since they last saw the sun. Now, even better, they start to they feel the warmth of it on their face. You know that natural, unique warmth you get from the sun on your face? The smiles start to appear, the hunched shoulders start to relax. The world just feels a better place again. Because after a long, cold winter, the sun has finally risen. That is the image of what happened the first Christmas. The long-awaited appearance of light and warmth and life back into our dark, barren, miserable world. If you're familiar, perhaps over-familiar with the facts of the Christmas story, Well, here's an image to help you get the feel of the Christmas story back. The tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Now, we adults, we're going to think about this a little bit more for a moment. But kids, I have now got, kids, I've got a picture for you to colour in. Okay, so here we go. So we've just been learning that Christmas and Jesus coming is like the rising sun. Okay, so what I would like all you kids to do is come. We've got some tables down here. I would like you to come and all colour in for us a sunrise. Okay, kids, so you're going to colour that in, and at the end, in a few minutes' time, we all want to see your beautiful sunrises, okay? Is that okay? Brilliant. Okay, so, everyone else, let's ponder this image that Zechariah gives to us a little bit more. So we've got this image, Christmas is like sunrise. But this is a sunrise that doesn't come up from the horizon, but that comes down from heaven. Do you see that? It's a sunrise that comes down from heaven. And that is the essence of the Christmas message, from which the rest of the good news flows out. Because light is a description of God himself. We sang it earlier, didn't we? The one who came into our world is God from God, light of light. Jesus just didn't bring light with him. He is light coming into our world. You know, why does every film we watch have goodies and baddies? Why are there values to be protected and values to be rejected? Because we don't live in a neutral world. We live in a world where behind everything sits one who is light, who is the definition of good, who's the one in whom all of our sense of right and wrong rests. And Christmas is the story of this God who is light, coming down from heaven to earth, humbling himself to grant us a personal visit. And where there's no light, there is no hope. There's awful stories coming out of Syria a couple of weeks ago of political prisoners who were locked away so far underground that the rescuers were struggling to find them and get to them. And then finally, the door is broken down and light streams in. The arrival of God himself into our dark world signals renewed hope. It is, you might say, an arrival worthy of the most glorious dawn chorus. And particularly because he arrives laden with tender mercy. He comes laden with tender mercy. That's a feel-good phrase for battered souls, isn't it? Tender mercy. It's an essential phrase for guilty consciences. Tender mercy. Because the reality is, as this true, pure light comes into our world, into the darkness from above, that is going to be an uncomfortable experience. And many of you would have that moment where you're driving in your car and you go around a bend and you turn into bright sunlight. What happens? Suddenly you become aware, don't you, of just how dirty your windscreen is as the light hits it. All that grime suddenly is just so clear to see in the bright light. Well, how essential then that as this bright light comes down from heaven, he arrives laden with tender mercy. Because it means we don't need to run and hide. It means we don't need to kind of put up the blackout blinds to try and keep him away. Instead, we can be like the shepherds. They were pretty afraid at first, weren't they, as the glory of God shone around them. But then they listened to the story about what's happening, and their fear turned to joy, and they ran off to find Jesus. You see, being in the presence of Jesus, the light, is always going to expose our grime. But that's okay, because he came to bring salvation. He came not to condemn, but to bring forgiveness of sins in a personal, tender, gentle way. And I broke my foot a few months ago. It was in large part my own stupid fault. Picture the scene, I'm kind of pretty embarrassed and in agony. I hop into the A&E, and we're away on holiday, I kind of hop into this A&E, trying to use an umbrella as a kind of makeshift crutch. I'm in agony, I'm embarrassed. But then I was met by this lady. She was a nurse practitioner, and she showed me such kindness. She didn't tell me off for being stupid. She didn't just try to kind of fob me off to move on to the next person so she could get home quicker. She was thoughtful, she was gentle, she was determined to help me as best she could. At one point, she disappeared for quite a while. I thought, where's she gone? She was scouring the hospital, trying to find me some crutches so that I could go away with crutches. That kind of gentle, tender care is what we need, isn't it? When we've mucked up. In our world, people mess up, and there's often just condemnation. We get cancel culture. People distance themselves to try and preserve themselves. Not so with Jesus. He came down from heaven into a world where the shadow of death really does hang heavy, where the darkness can be really dark, and not just out there, but in here. But he came not just to shine a light on our shortcomings, but to be a tender, merciful saviour that we all need. His plan wasn't to cancel us, but to cleanse us. And then to commission us to be a positive force for good in this world. And those Christmas verses one last time. The tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And C.S. Lewis, he paints the picture beautifully in The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. There you've got it, you've got the land of Narnia, and it's under this long winter. Everything's miserable, isn't it? The evil white witch is in charge, but then we're told Aslan has arrived. Not everyone knows he's arrived yet, a little bit like Jesus arrived. It's not kind of trumpeted, but Aslan has arrived, and the snow starts to melt. And life can be started to be seen, springing up everywhere. Let me I just want to read you just, I've been rereading all the Narnia books recently, and I just want to read you a little bit of this description. Aslan's arrived, and what starts to happen? It says, every moment the patches of green grew bigger, and the patches of snow grew smaller. Every moment more and more of the trees shook off their robes of snow. Soon, wherever you looked, instead of white shapes, you saw the dark green of firs or the black prickly branches of oaks and beeches and elms. Then the mist turned from white to gold and cleared away altogether. Shafts of delicious sunlight struck down on the forest floor. Overhead, you could see a blue sky between the treetops. Soon, there were more wonderful things happening. Coming suddenly around the corner into a glade, Edmund saw the ground covered in all directions with little yellow flowers. The noise of water grew louder. They actually crossed a stream. Beyond it, they found snowdrops growing. Only 5 minutes later, he noticed a dozen crocuses growing round the foot of an old tree, gold and purple and white. Then came a sound even more delicious than the sound of the water. Close beside the path they were following, a bird suddenly chirped from the branch of a tree. It was answered by the chuckle of another bird a little further off. And then, as if that had been a signal, there was chattering and chirruping in every direction, and then a moment of full song. And within 5 minutes, the whole wood was ringing with birds' music. This is no thaw, said the dwarf suddenly. This is spring. What are we to do? Your winter has been destroyed, my lady. I tell you, this is Aslan's doing. Well, so with Jesus. Jesus' arrival into this world kick-started the recreation of this world. Today, he wants to breathe new life into each one of us. Yeah, maybe for some, we need to let him do that for the first time. And maybe you have put the blackout blind up. You're trying to keep this light out, wanting to be left alone to slumber in bed, not interested in the urgings of others about what a beautiful day it is outside. Will you let Jesus in with his tender mercy and his transformative power? Because he came to guide our feet into the path of peace, to free us up, to confess failings, to offer forgiveness, to be forgiven, to move forward together in a spirit of tender mercy. He came so that we might do good in this world and be able to enjoy all that is good. You know, no wonder Zechariah, the father of John, was so excited. Because he realized God has stayed true to his promises. The future is bright because the true Son has come into the world. So happy Christmas. And I think it's time we see some sunrises. Are you ready to show us sunrises? Why don't you all come up here? If you haven't finished, you can carry on in a minute. But why don't you come up here? And we would like to see your sunrises. In fact, why don't you walk down the aisle and come back and show everyone your sunrises as you go? Do you want to go show everyone your sunrise? Some of them are still working on their masterpieces down here. Very good. Well done. Should we clap their sunrises? So there we go. Okay, this is the key thing to remember. Jesus is like the rising sun coming to us from heaven. That's really good news. I'm going to say a prayer of thanks to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful news of Christmas, that Jesus, this wonderful light, came down to us from heaven. Thank you that he came with tender mercy. And thank you that he wants to set our feet onto the path of peace. Amen.
We're going to sing another song.
I haven't stopped it.
And it's definitely favourite, I must say. Actually, Lucy's going to give up some instruments to the kids. And